It's time to thank good leadership here once again with David Gulick at the organ, Bert Browning, who shared not only one event but other experiences as we shared scripture together. This is the last Sunday also for Kim Crowley. Remember her, and perhaps you'll meet her in the Narthex foyer. A word about Hilton Ullman. He is all right, but he is at home. He indicated he was not able to read scripture this morning. I think he simply could not find a Bible. Here we are, gathered after what we've called an exchange of gifts at Christmas, grateful as we are for the gift of Christ as the greatest gift. We have come from different places at different times with family, with individuals. Not everyone is pleased with their gift, I understand. One of my favorites is still a mother asking her son to write a note of thanks to God as a prayer. And so he wrote, you may remember, "Dear God, thank you for the baby sister we got at Christmas. I asked for a puppy." Life is always tuned by not only imperfection, but also anticipation and sometimes surprise. We are in between, are we not? The scriptures we have read speak of starting over, because Paul wanted a group of people who were part of a new humanity to start over. It's not easy to start over. Back in 1864, when I was a pastor in Texas, I went to the back of that church door completely in depression. It was probably one of my worst, if not the worst, sermons. I wanted to hide. I wanted to greet no one. I stood there hoping for an out. And then she ran down the hallway and up the aisle. She was just 5 years old. Her name was Lauren Parsons. Her father, a professor of religion at Baylor. She hugged me as she had before, but she gave me a long hug at my kneecap, said, "Love you," and ran down the aisle. And I decided maybe I'd come back the next Sunday to start over. God started over in Bethlehem. Did you notice that? Having come before between patriarch, between prophet, between leader, and even among women, God came in Jesus Christ to start over a conversation begun long ago, but repeated with a new invitation. God comes as himself in Jesus Christ. Paul then says that this is about a new humanity, that we who have been called and are part of the blessed, no longer simply just the Jewish family, but the Gentile family, are to be a new humanity. And so he asked them to begin to start over and to clothe themselves. That's the word in the Greek, to put on new clothing. The first one was compassion. The verbs in the Greek are actually continuing to put on. And so it's not just continuing to put on compassion, but to continue to put on kindness. Not only were you to put on kindness, Paul said, but I hope you will also bring on humility as part of your life. Add to that gentleness. There are different words for it, but that's the word from some of the translations. And then finally, he says, put on patience. Clothed in these new garments, the people of God at Colossae were to become a new humanity. And we who stand at the border between an old year and a new year think often of resolutions. Was Paul asking them to start new resolutions? I'm not sure. The word was not the same, but he wanted something new to happen. He wanted people to start living in a brand new way or in a different way. It was time to start over. Two things about starting over. The first one is that it's often not easy to start over. Leo Tolstoy was a man of imagination, famous in his 30s with Anna Karenina, and even before that with War and Peace. He feeded himself and spent all his money in Paris and in other places, and by his 60s was a man empty inside and struggling with life. Leo Tolstoy was already famous in Russia and in other places, but a man of sorrow and despair. It was 1890 before he discovered a new song within his life, something he hadn't discovered or found before. It was a new faith that had never directed part of what he was writing, already well equipped. He was a different man in the latter part of his years. He tried to say something about that in a writing called Resurrection. But in the process, it was not easy for a man who had espoused some sense of ethical prowess, but at the same time had found for such a long time a life of emptiness. Starting over is not always easy. There is a grave in Jerusalem. It is recorded and registered for a man named Oskar Schindler. We might never heard of it, but there was a book long time ago, perhaps, named Schindler's Ark. From there came a movie called Schindler's List. A man of dissipation, born in Czech Republic and then moving to Germany, he was primarily interested in profit. All he wanted was to gain more. He started a small enterprise, then in Poland with 45 employees. Soon he added to them and then discovered, even as a Nazi follower, that there were atrocities and pain to a people called the Jewish people. He'd had no interest in anything but himself, focused entirely on his own way of life. One day, quietly, he decided to start over. And before he was finished, he had helped transport 1,098 Jews from the captivity that would have been a concentration camp and death, you know the story, to a place of safety outside Germany and Poland. That grave bears rocks about a life which was honored later for years, that had been in such dissipation. But somewhere along the way, he chose to start over. It's not easy to start over. There was a revolutionary in South Africa who'd lost his father at an early age, adopted and then sent out. He soon became involved with violence and was imprisoned for over 24 years. His name, Nelson Mandela. All he was interested in at first was violently disrupting what had been a segregated world in South Africa. But as the years went by, the experience in prison, as he began to write about his own event, his journey, and his time, a long path to freedom, Nelson Mandela began to start over. And when he was released, he had become an image for a people who no longer separated, now worked together. He and de Klerk in the late 90s received the Nobel Peace Prize because he started over. Paul is asking the Colossians to start over, to take all they have and what they've understood about life and to there begin a transformation. Put on, he says, put on compassion. It's a brand new year. Put on kindness. It's a brand new humanity. Put on humility. Clothe yourself with gentleness. Clothe yourself with patience. There's a list I need to work on, no doubt about it. But if the first word is that it is not easy to start over, the next word is that you and I can start over at any age and at any time. Now, there's good news for me. Because it doesn't really matter what you do, if you take hold of yourself. Paul was speaking about love as encompassing and gathering up all these other garments. As he spoke about a peace, he spoke of the peace that was an umpire for everything we do. And then he spoke about the experience of starting over as a completely different way of dealing with one another by forgiveness. You see, Tolstoy, Mandela, Schindler, somewhere along the way, understood something about being forgiven and passing it on, becoming interested in life itself. Her name is Gail Renee Hill. I'd never heard of her before, but in Chico, California, perhaps you read the story, she lives as a small church pastor, 54 members of the church, 50 miles north of Paradise, California. Over 130 buildings lost just south of her. 90 people, 91 now dead. She decided as a pastor that part of her work was to bring people in, to help them find clothing, to help those who needed special care, and to find jobs. And she, with a church of 52 members, began the work of reparation in a fire-torn area where people have lost everything and sometimes everyone. It doesn't matter how many people you work with. The new humanity Paul was talking about was about the capacity within us to start over. The Hebrew legend and the Hebrew history speaks of Yetzer HaTov. It's the capacity to have a positive attitude in life. Yes, there is also a Yetzer Hara, and that's to have a poor outlook and outlook on life. And here, at the threshold of another year, as the people of God called River Road Church gather in worship and in hope, we stand at a crossroads, at a place where we can be reclothed and can start over. I was impressed with two people I'd also never heard about who started RIP Med Debt. Their names, if it helps for you to know, come from another place in New York, where Craig Antico and Jeff Ashton, who had been at many different times in their work gathering up what were bad debts, positioning them together and paying them at a softer, smaller price, and decided to do that with people who had debts they could not pay, medically speaking. And so several times a year now, Antico and Ashton pull together debts of people who cannot pay for their extravagant medical expenses, and a note, a yellow piece note, goes to them saying, your stress and your debt have been erased. At their age, in their 70s, starting over, no longer for themselves, but for someone else. And then I read her story. Moody Middle School, turned 12 yesterday. She decided that the military friends far overseas needed candy also. Did you read the story? Please send her, she began in 2016, candy left over from Halloween. Maybe some of you still have some. Before it was over, by this year, she's already sent over 1,200 pounds of candy to the military and other places, just to surprise them with something different. Her name is Emmy Wells. She lives here in our own hometown. Somewhere along the way, taking care of herself, she decided she could start over. And life is the beauty of the places and times. Where are there secret moments where we decide to start over? And so in a brand new way, even though we've done it before, because these are verbs that indicate someone had already been doing it, these people of God at Colossae had been doing it, how about in a brand new way adding compassion to your life? How about in a different way, adding kindness you have never shared before? What about the experience of humility in a significantly different way? and gentleness and patience, starting over. There's an old rabbinic story about a man who died and went to hell. Perhaps you've heard the word before. It was Hades. Actually, he had arrived in heaven before, but he asked to see what was going on in Hades, in hell, because he wanted to see in what contrast they were living, given the fact that he had been elected to heaven itself. And so St. Peter, I'm told, opened the doors, or at least one of the angels showed him this a scene in hell. There they sat at a beautiful table with all kinds of food of every kind. And he noticed first only the food on the table, and he said, "My goodness, there's so much food here. Why is this a bad place?" And the angel said, "Look more carefully." And everyone at the table had their elbows tied so that they could not bring food to themselves, and they could not feast from the beauty of what was before them. Discouraged and impressed, he said, "Well, let me first then look at hell next. Now let me look at heaven," he declared. And so the angel took him to heaven. There again was a beautiful table, well set, the same kind of wonderful foods available. And then he looked more carefully because he'd learned from the first look. And he said, "But wait a minute, these people still have their elbows tied and they cannot receive food." And the angel said again, "Look more carefully," because he saw how happy these people were, because what they were doing was taking food from the table and giving it to the person across from them, so that everybody was celebrating the beauty of the bounty. Starting over, there's a wonderful time and place we call January when we can start over. I don't know where you need to start over, but I hope in this place and time you can look carefully at the possibility that maybe there's something new in you that needs to be born. Maybe the Yetzer HaTov in you will rise up to the occasion. I was writing my second book. I'd had so many interruptions. The study back in the town where I was living was just outside the kitchen. There was so much noise, and my son was playing all over the place. And I said to him, "Doug, would you please be quiet? I need to finish this book. It's on a deadline." He said, "Yes, sir." 15 minutes later, I'm at the moments where I'm trying to put together the words, and I heard a splash in the kitchen next door. And I turned with all my kindness and I said to my son who was there in front of me, "Doug, what did you do now?" And he's picking up a glass of water and he says, "I wanted to bring you some water." Wow. Kindness? 5 years old? Compassion, gentleness, patience, humility. I don't know about you, but I've got a lot I've got to start over with. God bless you with yours. Amen.